This is the Word in the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Today, our topic of discussion is communication. This is an important topic of discussion for us because we are communicating creatures. God has made us to communicate. He communicates with us. He has communicated to us in His Word, which is absolutely wonderful. And we communicate to each other every day. And there's an opportunity to glorify God with our words. And there is certainly opportunity to sin against God with our words. And so it's a topic where I think it's important to give specific attention to how do we speak in a way that glorifies God. And as we consider this topic of communication, I want to start with just a basic understanding of or definition of what communication is. It's been said that communication is the accurate exchange of information for the understanding of content. Accurate exchange of information for the understanding of content. That's communication. That's what we're at least seeking to accomplish. It doesn't always happen that way where information is exchanged accurately, but that's what we're going after. Tom, talk a little bit about communication. Biblically, what does God call us to in regards to communication? How do we get there? How should we think about our communication with each other?
Great question, Josh. And I could start with an answer in many different directions, but I'm going to start with something that Paul Tripp writes about in his book, War on Words, that words have been lent to us from God. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God was the first one to communicate. You go through the creation account, and it's God said. And so it's a high value of who owns the words that we use. And just the passage that we speak of often when we talk about communication is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Where Paul writes to the Ephesian church, do not let any unwholesome or corrupt or just foul talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The goal of our communication needs to be a benefit to one another. When you think about a benefit to one another, if I view my responsibility and you view your responsibility in the body of Christ, our design is that we are helping each other be prepared to be face-to-face with God one day. Hmm. We have a high standard for how we help one another to grow in holiness, and communication's just part of it. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's helpful from that passage in Ephesians 4:29. There's a prohibition. Don't do this. Don't let unwholesomeness come from your mouth. Don't let what is defiled or unedifying, what is not pleasing to the Lord, come from your mouth. But conversely, in the positive, only such a word as is good for edification, only that which builds up, that pleases the Lord when we use our words that way. And I especially appreciate according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Just speaking what comes to mind, even if it's true, it may not be the right moment for that truth. I think us husbands can relate to times where we've had opportunity to speak something that was true, but it wasn't the right moment. You know, you're running out the door and you're late for something. Conversations that may be a blessing, may be helpful to be had about planning ahead with your children or your wife's timeliness getting ready. Walking out the door in a rush may not be edifying for that moment, even though you may feel justified or vindicated because it's true. And I know that having wisdom there in not only what we say or how we say it, but also when we say it, when we choose to have those conversations, can be really helpful.
I remember years ago counseling somebody, and we were talking about this particular verse in the part, the positive, but only what is helpful for building others up. And the person's comment was, if I was really doing that, I would speak a whole lot less. And that's true.
Yep. Which is actually part of the point.
Yeah,
but that's part of the point. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable.
Yeah.
But he who restrains his lips is wise. There's actually a benefit to being more thoughtful, to being more restrained, and a protection from inadvertent sinfulness that just comes from compulsive speech. Jesus gives really a sobering warning in Matthew 12:36. He says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Words matter. Words matter before the Lord. And we are called to this high standard of carefulness with our speak, with our speech. For some, they may have a propensity to speak less. For some of us, we just speak, and I would fall into this category, we have a propensity to speak more and need to give all the more careful attention before we just spout out what comes to mind, even if we think it's true or even if we think it's justified what we're speaking. The standard is edification for those who are hearing. Right. And not only our intended specific audience. If you're a husband and wife and you're having a conversation, your words are not only to be edifying to your husband or to your wife in that moment, but if your kids are overhearing the conversation, what and how you're having that conversation needs to be edifying to them as well.
It's a great point.
Which with that, I think it's important that we also understand how we communicate. Communication is not simply words. There are things like tone of voice, body language, whether or not we're listening or distracted when someone's, you know, if you're trying to have a conversation with me and you're looking at your phone, looking down, looking away, when I'm having a conversation with you, you're actually communicating something through your distraction or through your inaction or lack of attentiveness. In that, we also communicate with our actions. If we tell our wife, hey, your opinion is really important to me, and she says, well, I'd prefer you do this thing before you do that. If you don't do that thing she asks and you just run to what you want, you've actually communicated something about your value of her, your listening to her, your understanding of her desires, and so forth. So when we think about those things, Tyler, I'd love to hear, what are some ways that you seek to communicate well? You're probably one of the most self-controlled men that I know with your words, careful with your speech. What goes on in your thinking? How do you direct your heart to speak in such a way that it's edifying?
That is a great question. I definitely think about Ephesians 4:29, what would be beneficial. Even before that, in that same chapter, the instruction to speak the truth with love. And there's actually a purpose in Ephesians 4:15. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. And I think right along with that, when I'm thinking about my own words, I'm thinking about what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:5. He's actually talking about people who are talking a lot. As he's talking about false teachers, people who are propagating myths, endless genealogies, give rise to mere speculation. But the goal of our command, and that could even be translated as advice or counsel there. The goal of our command is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and an unhypocritical faith. I need to have eyes on myself. Why why do I want to say this thing that I want to say to this person in front of me? Why do I want to answer, respond this way? Is it because I'm worried that I'm going to not get my way if I don't speak? Is it because I actually want their good in this moment? Having the goal of their sanctification, God being glorified in this moment, is so helpful.
Yeah, I think from a young age, we think the purpose of communication is just to get our point across, whatever it may be. But when you consider what Scripture's saying here in Ephesians, the purpose of our communication must build the other up. And it just, I'm thinking of Colossians 3:8. If our words are not building up, I think there's just an interesting in the put offs in Colossians 3. It says you must rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. If you're not communicating well, it's not acting alone, typically. There's other things going on that are unpleasing to the Lord. So I know I would love to make this commitment and do it the rest of my days here on earth, that any word that comes across my lips would truly only build up and benefit the one that's hearing.
Yeah. That's so helpful, guys. I think when we're considering how do we speak what is edifying, I think we need to come back to Jesus' words that are where do our words ultimately come from? And in Luke 6:45, yeah, Jesus says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Mm. And so if we want to honor God with our communication and we find ourselves faltering, the solution isn't changing what's going on outside of us. It's not, well, we only spoke that way because of this person doing this thing to us. Actually, the sinful communication that came out of our mouths is the byproduct, it's the fruit of what's going on in our heart. Right. So, Tyler, I really appreciate the things that you said in the passage in 1 Timothy you went to. Those things are so helpful and so crucial. And I think are a reflection of what Jesus would call us to, which is if we want to honor God with our speech and edify others with our speech, it's going to start with heart shepherding.
Yeah.
Because our heart inclination, our natural inclination is not towards what is good. It's not what is pleasing to the Lord. We have to shepherd our heart to get there by the grace of God through the Spirit of God, renewing our hearts and minds with truth. This is why shepherding our hearts with the Word of God and prayer and devotion is so important when we talk about shepherding our hearts with the truth. The outflow of that is a heart that's been exposed to truth, exposed to the Word of God, renewed with the realities of the greatness of God. And from that, that actually does have an impact on what's going to flow out of our mouths. And so if we're struggling with communication, we're struggling getting our desired content across and doing mm-hmm. so in an edifying way, I think it comes back with us taking our heart before the Lord, prayer, renewing our minds with truth, as you were talking about, walking in the new man the Lord has made us to be, Colossians 3. Mm. Those things are going to have a direct impact on what comes out of our mouth. Tom, if somebody came to you, maybe they were struggling with their marriage, and maybe it's not overt sinfulness, although that certainly happens, where we just speak harsh things. But let's just say a husband and wife, they're just struggling to find common ground. They keep missing each other right. in communication, and it's creating tension within the marriage. Do you have any kind of go-to helps or places you'd start in that kind of scenario, in that situation?
Absolutely. I think what we're looking at here in Ephesians is definitely one of them. But I would start with prayer, that a husband and a wife are praying together, that they're recognizing that there is a problem and they are praying, and just that they're on the same page of what they're trying to accomplish in their communication. And if there's been hurts in the past, there'd have to be forgiveness. There need to be confession of sin. And hopefully in the process of prayer, there would be the confession of sin. Yep. That I want to speak in a way that edifies you and is pleasing to my Lord.
Yeah.
But between prayer, confession, and forgiveness, that's a wonderful place to start on working on better communication skills.
So helpful, Tom. I agree with that. I know Julie and I, early in our marriage, we'd have moments where we were going back and forth communicating about something, and we'd just pause. And, you know, I'd liken it. I said, I feel like we're on two different teams fighting for the ball. Yeah. And that's not what our marriage is supposed to be. We're on the same team going towards the same end, which is wanting to glorify God. And we'd stop and we'd pray and just acknowledge the Lord's presence in that moment. Here's our desire. Help us to glorify you. Help us to come to the solution that most glorifies God and is a blessing to each other, as opposed to just getting what we want in that moment. Change the whole tone of the conversation when we do that. And so that's been helpful. A couple things I know for me, Proverbs 18:13, he who gives an answer before he hears, it's a folly and a shame to him. Right. And so if we're seeking to have edifying communication, whether that's with our children or our spouse or a friend or whomever, being patient and listening well and not rushing to all that we want to say, but hearing the other person, maybe even repeating back, I just heard you say this. Is that what you mean? Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah.
Can be really, really helpful. And then Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. There's just a benefit to being careful, tempered, as we talked about at the beginning, with our words, not rushing to conclusions. Obviously, there's a lot more to be said about communication. Hopefully, the things that we've discussed are quick helps. Any final thoughts or insights, Tyler, Tom?
The absolute goal of our communication is, what's God's goal? Mm. If I keep in mind right now in this moment, what's God's goal, it'll help me. It'll serve me well.
Amen.
I feel like I've said the same thing in every podcast, but remembering the grace that you need from the Lord is so helpful when you go to extend that grace to others that need it. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt. Or a different translation is, let your words always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should answer each person.
Amen.
Amen. It's good, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.